must have been fabulously wealthy, and he had two wives, Katyayani and Maitreyi. And he must also have been fairly advanced in age, because at one stage, in one chapter in the same Upanishad, one fine morning he announces to his two wives, "I think I have had enough. I'm going away," he says. And his going away to a homeless state was a rather tough job. In those days there was the hermitages and the ashrams were inhabited by people like him, great scholars, great thinkers, and great mystics, and great teachers, who were not sannyasis or swamis, but who were ascetics and who were hermits. They often lived there with their wife or wives, practicing penance, austerities, meditating and so on. And the life of renunciation was truly a life of total renunciation. There is nothing, no half measure about it, no hypocrisy about it. When this man, living in the hermitage, the retired life, when he decided that he didn't even need a roof over his head, he just walked away. Probably you heard that widowhood in India in those days was not a very pleasant thing. It occurs in quite a number of scriptures too, that women were frightened to be widowed. In the case of such hermits, when they walked away from the house, the wife never became a widow. You know the obvious reason. She didn't know when and where he died. The husband just walked out of the hermitage, and that's all. He didn't even have an identity card, a passport, or nothing. And he just kept walking anywhere where the spirit moved him. If anyone came to ask a decent question in the proper spirit, probably he gave an answer. Otherwise, he was not interested in communicating. In order that such communication might take place, why don't you go to the hermitage? Yeah? There is one of those ascetics, quite learned, wonderful people. Go, if you want to go there. But only those people went to these wandering monks who only needed one little tap. And that's all they did, because they would not they wouldn't even stay in one place for two nights. So nobody could be his disciples. All the disciples belonged to these ascetics who lived in hermitages, to the hermits. They had disciples. And so this wonderful man announced to his two wives, "I've had enough, I'm leaving. And of course, you know, I've got plenty of wealth. You and the other wife, Katyayani, might share. And bye-bye." Maitreyi is probably the second wife. She was a bit clever. And the scripture specifically mentions, the Upanishad specifically mentions, that this Yajnavalkya was specially fond of her, very fond of her. She asks a very simple question. "I've heard you talk to your disciples here and talk to King Janaka and all those people. And you have often mentioned self-realization, immortality. The realization of the immortality. Tell me, where can I buy that?" you say you'll give me plenty of money, wealth. Can you also indicate where I can get that? With this half my share of the wealth. She says, who told you? Amrtatvasituna shasti vityena. I never said that one can buy self-knowledge. By being wealthy, there is no hope of attaining immortality. No, no. You can live a very comfortable life. It's quite possible she was also getting on in age. You can live a very comfortable life as a wealthy woman. Aha! Then why don't you let the other woman have my share of the wealth also? Huh? Then what do you want? I would like to know how to attain self-knowledge before you go. I'm not going to stop you from going, but tell me. And again the scripture, the Upanishad, suddenly blossoms into another romance, second honeymoon, spiritual honeymoon. He says, my dear, come on, I love you even more today than I have ever loved you, because just I'm going to leave you in half an hour. I'm going to leave you in half an hour, but I love you intensely. Come on, sit down in front of me. Sit down near me, close to me. Again, Upanishad, sit close to me. I'll tell you. And it's a fantastic spiritual romance. He says, you know you love me, and I love you too, right? Navare. Not for my sake do you love me. Atmanastu kamaya pati priyam bhavati. It is because of that self that the husband is dear to the wife. Navare sarvasya kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. What is this love? Why do we love all? Why do we love one another? Why do we love wealth? Why do we love power? Why do we love children? Why family? It is because of the self. Now, if one who did not have those four means we discussed the other day listens to this, Yajnavalkya also recommends selfishness. That it is for the sake of the self, for me, for my sake, that I love my wife or my friends, wealth and the whole universe. Therefore, this is the truth, I am the truth. Such a misunderstanding could arise if one were not equipped with the four means, viveka, wisdom. And as a matter of fact, there was also a couple of rather intriguing and misunderstandable stories told. A man carries his wife, his child and some wealth across the river, and he finds that he could make it. What does he drop first? A money bag. Never mind. If it goes away, I can make money again. Then he goes a little further and he finds that he is being washed away. Then he, according to the legend, the funny story, then he drops the child. Never mind, my wife is still there and we can have more children. Then he proceeds further and he cannot even hold on to his wife and he says, all right, let the wife go, I can marry again. It looks cruel, but listen to the end of the story. And from this, they suggest, which is true, which is probably true, most people in the world would probably behave in this way. If a house is on fire, you first try to drag your wife and children out. If you cannot do that, you would drag the wife out. If you cannot do that, drag yourself out, run away and then sit and pray somewhere else. That sort of thing. Why does this happen? They say it's because of the self. Maybe true, but there is something, some other question hidden in it. Why is it that ultimately I even drop this body? When the body drops at one stage, what happens? What survives? The whole family survived the loss of money, wealth. My wife and I survived the loss of the children. I survived the loss of my wife. But something survives the loss of this body. So the inquiry must continue. If it does not, then you get trapped in somewhere or the other. Hence, the self is not the self that is assumed to be real. Something else. If you go back to the other story of what is the light that guides you when even the voices become silent, you can experience this yourself if you want to. When you are in an absolutely, totally dark room, or when you are walking through a tunnel, you take a few steps forward and take a few steps back and ask yourself this simple question. How do I know what is front and what is back? I cannot see anything at all. It's totally dark. You can wear an eye mask. It's totally dark. Even in that total darkness, I know that this is front and that is back. How? That is self. Not the selfishness or the ego sense which assumes to itself the sovereignty of the whole life. But that's something which is beyond all that. Beyond this body, beyond this ego sense, beyond the senses, beyond the mind, beyond the ego sense. That is the self which Yajnavalkya is talking about. Navare sarvasya kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati, atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. It is because we are all nicked in that self that we love one another. That's a completely different vision, which transcends the body and which transcends the mind and the intellect. And suddenly he announces, Atmavare drashtavyo shrotavyo mantavyo niridhyasatavyah. That self, my dear, that must be seen. That must be heard of. When you go to a teacher, you want to hear about that. And the word used here is seen. Atmavare drashtavyo shrotavyo mantavyo nididhyasitavyah. And it must be seen, it must be heard of. When it is seen and heard of, it erodes your faith in the material existence, in the physical relationship. When it is seen, not with these eyes, but with some other eyes, with the eye of wisdom, with the eye that is wisdom, then it erodes, it destroys the attraction that what I have seen with these physical eyes has for me. That is when true vairagya arises. When I see this is what I have seen with my eyes, this is what I have heard with my ears, and therefore my mind is tempted, my mind is attracted, my mind is distracted by these objects. And when I constantly hear about the self, which is different from all this, and when I begin to see inwardly and internally that that may be the truth, then life takes on a different dimension, completely different dimension. Once I have heard this, it is not yet real to me. The hearing was real. The words are real. The words are real, but the thing is not real to me. I am still struggling. And I should not swallow it. I should not assume the words that I hear are real. The words are real, but what they represent, what they indicate is not real to me. What do I do?
Experience.
Manana. First is Shravana, hearing. First is Shravana, which is hearing. And having heard it, Manana. Manana is difficult to translate. Luckily for me, the English word is also interesting. Manana is usually translated into reflection. Reflection. I have heard this man say, not indeed for the sake of all these is all these dear, but for the sake of the self is all this dear. I have heard this. Then I go away and reflect. Reflect in the sense, hold the mirrors of the mind steady, clean and steady, so that what I heard from him is steadily reflected. And when the whole attention is focused upon this truth that is reflected in the mirror of my own mind or buddhi, the previous notions that ruled there come up. You and I have been educated, brought up in all sorts of crazy formulas. All these crazy formulas have been fed into us, and we are made up of these crazy formulas, with the God in heaven and you are my friend and somebody else is my enemy and all these things. And when I reflect the teaching of the Master, it is indeed because there is this one self everywhere that all this is dear. And when I reflect that, the previous notions come up, the previous concepts come up. My own mental conditioning shows up. What about me? And you have an opportunity to examine those mental conditions and see them for what they are, unreal. That is the confusion. That is, Maitreyi herself asks him, tells him, you are confusing me. He says, no, wait a moment, I am not confusing you. Wait. Reflect over this. Reflect over this. Little more deeply. Try this. Try this. You say that I heard from the Master that I love all these because all these are the one self. Then my enemy too. He is my enemy. He also, I don't love him at all. He says that's a different story. How do you know he is your enemy? Oh, my father didn't like him. My father didn't like him and so he became my enemy. How? He called me a fool and so I don't like him. Just because he called you a fool, he becomes your enemy? Why? So, this little bit of argumentation takes place within yourself. you are not assuming that the teacher is absolutely real, or at least you have understood what the teacher has been talking about, and you do not assume that what you were brought upon, the concepts you were brought upon, are real. I have been told that he is my friend and he is my enemy, and that I must love him and I must hate him. That's how I have been brought up. I have been told that this is good and that is not good. I must run after this and avoid that. All these ideas exist in me. And then here comes a master who says, you love everything because the whole thing is your own self. Doesn't seem to make much sense. Now let us examine. That examination is called manana, the second stage. That examination is called manana or reflection, which can also be done in company. It can be done alone, and it can also be done in company, two or three of us getting together and discussing the teachings of the master. And then as the truth sinks in, suddenly you say, my God, he was right. And the truth which was heard from the master and which was reflected upon later on, alone or in company, suddenly becomes true. It is realized. It is realized and assimilated. It becomes as real to you, or perhaps more real to you than your own body. It becomes more real to you, or as real to you as the other ideas were before. We have been fed with all sorts of notions, all sorts of concepts, all sorts of traditional beliefs. And they lived in us and they acted so far. I was told that I was an Indian, I was a Brahmin, I was this and I was a Swami, etc., etc., all this. And the whole life was ruled by those notions, those concepts and those ideas. Suddenly the sage comes around and says, all are one. All are knit in the one self. It seems shocking. But then, by Shravana and Manana, by deeper and deeper reflection, all the other layers fall off. And then this new truth, new revelation takes over, as it were, and that begins to rule. Nididhyasana. It is then that the truth that was heard from the master and reflected upon becomes really and truly real. There is realization. When she says, Yajnavalkya also made it quite clear that when I talk about the self, it is not the ego sense that I indicate, but that is a self which is deep within you, which even the mind cannot think of. When you become one with the self, and when you drop this body, there is nothing. She says, oh, there is nothing? I thought there is going to be quite a lot of things. She says, no, wait a moment. Only when there is individuality, which is a product of ignorance, only when you and I are completely different from each other, that I see you, I hear you, I smell you, I taste you. But when the one self alone He is the truth. Who sees whom? Who listens to whom? Who hears whom? Who touches whom? When only one exists. Vijñātāra mare kena vijāniyāt? That's the final statement of the great sage. That is the subject. The self being one, that self is the subject. The self is. Who is going to know this subject? Can this subject be made the object of knowledge? Bye-bye, he just got up and walked away. Abruptly it ends. Vijñātāra mare kena vijāniyāt? He drops it and walks out. And that is called Satchidānanda. I saw the word here. That chit is consciousness, knowledge. It is not the knowledge that has been polarized into the subject and object. I know you. It is knowledge which is the subject of all, and therefore which is not the subject. In which there is no division between subject and object. Mere knowledge, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. And that alone exists. When that alone is realized to be the sole existence, there is no fear, there is no nothing, no division, and therefore there is no sorrow. And hence they say that it is Satchitananda, bliss, pure bliss. Bliss, again, not in the sense of I scratch your back, you scratch mine, we are both happy, no. When there is bliss or a happiness or a delight in which there is no division. A knowledge in which there is no division. A joy in which there is no division. Having taught this, Yajnavalkya got up and walked away. Asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityor ma mrtamgamaya.